The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I am Dave Smith, and of course, I am joined by my brother, my life partner, my co-host, Robbie the Fire Bernstein, the king of the Cox, looking good with a nice beard in a whole different room of his studio apartment, back by the cabinets. I like the background.
I moved into the kitchen. Times are tough, so I rented out the other rooms, and now this is it. But I got the most important one. I got access to the fridge, the oven. I shit in the garbage can, so it's all I ever needed. It's okay.
Yeah, no, that's great. Just a wide open, new roommate in there. You're just jerking off in the kitchen. Like, what? I'm in my room.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. All right. Very good. Very good. All right. So, obviously, the fucking big news, our October surprise, is that Donald Trump tested positive for COVID. You're somebody as a survivor. You know all about this. You had it early on before it was cool. To have COVID back when we were in the studio, we were all tongue kissing and everything. But this is becoming really interesting and kind of difficult to predict where this is all going to go. But anyway, I haven't talked to you since we found out the news. So what are your thoughts and what's your reaction about how this is going to affect the outcome of the race?
Well, unless Trump somehow dies from this, which isn't happening, dude, this is going to help him so much because now he gets to show up and go, I told you guys there's a cure. And guess what? They would only give it to me because I had to bully them into allowing me to take this thing. And now I'm going to make sure that everybody else has it and then we can get the economy back up and running. You want to leave Biden in charge? He's going to step in with the FDA with regulation. They're not going to let you get these drugs. I just took them. They work. I had the coronavirus. I'm an old fat man. He's not going to say that part because
but it's implied.
He looks great. But he's going to go, if I can get through this thing, everybody can. And it's because I had access to this medicine. I want to make sure that everyone has access to this medicine. I wasn't lying when I said it was political and that we have a cure.
Yeah. Well, I really do think because of many factors, it's very hard to call what's going to happen on election night and the weeks that follow. And of course, the factors are obviously just the craziest year ever, all these different, you know, dynamics that it's hard to say who it's going to get blamed on, who's going to benefit from what. You know, my guess is that, you know, the economy being in rough shape overall, even if you can pit it on Democratic governors, I think it hurts the incumbent to not have a strong economy to run on for re-election. I think the violence in the streets really helps Donald Trump. But again, like I've said before, the big X factor is the voting by mail and how long it's going to take to actually count all the ballots, how much shenanigans are going on. And once lawyers get involved, my gut tells me that favors the Democrats, who are the party of lawyers. So that's kind of, you know, it, but in terms, so it's just very hard to predict. It's really, really tough election to predict. With this,
do you think the polling's way off that they're saying that Trump took a big dive in the polls after the first debate?
Yeah, I do. That's what my gut tells me. But again, I don't really know. I also don't think that how whatever happened in that debate, I think, has now been totally eclipsed by this Trump COVID thing, which is, you know, depending on who you think won it. I thought Trump won it. I still stand by that. But depending on that, then whoever, you know, won it, they ended up losing because it's old news at this point, which is, you know, kind of typical for 2020.
I think Trump's just got to turn that narrative back on. Hey, listen, I've got an important job and you got to work. And so, yeah, I risked getting COVID because I'm in charge. Right. And I wanted to make sure that I could do my job because I got an important job. And like I told you, the meds are pretty good. I'm going to be fine.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the art of war, or just the art of combat, is about drawing your opponents into positions where they're vulnerable. And that's true in like MMA. Like it's not just about what, you know, like your offense or your opponent's defense. What really high level fighters, this is true in boxing too, what they do is they set traps. They try to get you to extend yourself where you're vulnerable. And this is basically, by the way, what Osama bin Laden's plan was for the United States of America, was to lure us into conflicts where we would overextend ourselves and spend ourselves into debt and destroy our nation ourselves. But good thing we didn't fall into that trap. One of the things that's interesting, whether wittingly or unwittingly, I think it's quite possible that Donald Trump has done that with this this whole him getting COVID situation. I don't know if that this was intentional. In fact, I don't think it was. But nonetheless, this is where they are. Now, I will say that I think if, because there's a lot of variables here, they were talking yesterday about Donald Trump being released today, that was a possibility. As of today, which is Monday when we're recording this, there hasn't been any new information on that. So he could end up getting out today or tomorrow, or maybe not. Now, if Donald Trump gets out and then has to be hospitalized again, if he ends up getting really sick, something like that, this could be bad. This could be really, really bad for Donald Trump. I think that would be, it would show vulnerability, not in a good way. It would be kind of chaotic. Like, we don't even know the status of the president's health. And then it also takes away what is one of Joe Biden's biggest weaknesses, which is like, oh, he's kind of this senile old man. There's some, you know, like, and now it's like, okay, it almost makes it a wash. Like, yeah, he's a senile old man, but Trump's an old fat guy with COVID. Any of those things could throw this off. But as of right now, if you assume that Donald Trump gets out today or tomorrow of Walter Reed, he's basically back. You know, I mean, he's put out a few videos. I mean, he looked like he was a little bit under the weather, but he didn't look, it wasn't like anything too bad.
He's still signing fake documents, taking trips and limo rides. He's Trump 100%.
Dude, those pictures that they took of him reading briefings, I promise you, they were blank pages, or there were perhaps cartoon characters on those briefings. But that, anyway, all that aside. But if he gets out and he's reasonably healthy, my guess is they're going to miss the second debate. There's a chance the third one might happen, but I don't see how they're going to make a debate in 11 days or 12 days, whatever it's supposed to be from now. But what's happened here, to my art of the deal, is that the media now is, you know, they've almost been lured into this place where they can't help themselves but to take this as an opportunity to bash Trump. And you can see them trying to cover themselves, where they go, well, of course, we all pray for the president and his wife and we hope they're good, but it's his own recklessness that got him here. And it's blah, blah, blah. And so they're spinning this narrative of he basically, you know, he had it coming, more or less, is what they're going for. And they just can't help themselves, because they, number one, they have utter contempt for Trump. And they've also been saying, they've been going with, he's downplaying and not taking this thing seriously from day one. That's been, you know, the whole year, that's been their narrative. they've kind of, you know, they jumped back on the he's racist narrative. They're sticking with the he downplayed coronavirus narrative. One thing that's interesting, just worth pointing out, Russia narrative, not too strong. One or two different people saying a couple things about Russian interference. But isn't it, by the way, pretty fascinating that even at that debate, not one question about Russia. Biden didn't bring up Russia. For all the years of Russian collusion, no, like we said, we never get our apology. They never acknowledge they were wrong. It's just like, oh, all of a sudden, that's just not really a big thing that we even need to talk about. Really fascinating moment that I think we forgot to mention on the debate recap episode. But the only person who brought up Russia at the debate was Trump to shove it in their face. No one else is even asking a question about that, which,
well, yeah, because it's a victory for Trump. I mean, well, that's they made right. it up. They distracted the country for 2 years. It was an epic debacle. Yeah. Didn't allow the guy to represent who he was supposed to represent. They tied him down with this bullshit. They don't want to bring it. It worked.
But it's
worked.
Unbelievable. I mean, it just goes to show how biased the corporate press, even Fox News, even someone like Chris Wallace is, that you would think that would have to be a question thrown at Biden. You know, your party went all in on this narrative, and it's quite an accusation to make. And it turned out to be wrong. What do you think now? Do you still think Trump colluded with Russia, or will you admit that was wrong? All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our brand new sponsor, IP Vanish. IP Vanish is an incredibly important tool that will help you protect your privacy online. I don't know how you spend your time online. What you do when you're online isn't my business, and it's nobody else's either. If you don't want cyber criminals to steal your data or marketing to track what you're buying, you need IP Vanish. IP Vanish is a VPN, a virtual private network that creates a private connection from your computer, phone or tablet to the internet, which protects your identity and encrypts your data. VPNs are great for protecting your data from hackers, especially when using public Wi-Fi that isn't secure. With IP Vanish, your real IP address disappears, so you can't be tracked online. You get fast, unrestricted internet. IP Vanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70 countries. So with IP Vanish, you're never going to get stuck with a slow site or a video that doesn't load. But what really makes IP Vanish great is it's the only VPN with 24/7 customer support. Bottom line, a VPN is something everyone will be using soon enough. So check out IP Vanish to start protecting your data and privacy online. Plans start at just $3.25 per month. So go to IPVanish.com/problem. And you'll get 75% off their regular price just by going to ipvanish.com/problem. One more time, that's ipvanish.com/problem. Start protecting yourself online today with IP Vanish. All right, let's get back into the show.
How do we prevent further deep state coups from undermining the authority of a sitting president?
Sure. You know, like, or at the very least, get Biden on record. Do you think that Trump conspired with Russia, or do you admit that that was wrong? You know, like that, at least that. And the fact that that was never answered is kind of crazy.
And anyway. when you and Obama came up with it, did you think it was going to stick? Or are you still surprised that he's in office?
Well, it's also the truth is that, yeah, it was very related. There was a very easy way to relate it to Biden because, in fact, there was documents that said that Biden was there in the meeting and that he was the one who actually pushed to invoke the Logan Act. Trump brought this up, but it should have been brought up by the moderator and they should have asked. Anyway, whatever. I digress. The media now is in this position where they're, attacking Trump for basically having it coming. Blue checkmark Twitter is all over the place, basically wishing death on Donald Trump, or certainly, you know, at least not showing any empathy toward him. Now, again, I'm not coming out against that. I don't care. I don't care if people have empathy for politicians when they get sick. I like really don't. Like, I'm a guy who thinks Donald Trump should be tried for war crimes. So I don't like care if you feel bad when he's sick. However, if 24 hours earlier, your position was this guy won't even condemn hate, and we're the party of empathy, and Joe Biden's like a good guy who cares about people, you'd be crazy to not see where that doesn't undermine your argument. And so they've now lured, or Trump, unintentionally, I think, has lured his opposition into a place where they're saying, look at this guy. He took risks, and he's paying the price for it. and look at the, and we kind of blame him for it and we wish bad on him. And I wonder how all that's going to play out, because the truth is that you've got one candidate in Joe Biden who's been hiding in his basement for the entire election. And you've got another candidate who's been governing. It's been the president of the United States. He's going out. He's having rallies. They can say he's being reckless, like he's not wearing a mask. Look at him. He's acting like a normal president. He's you know, conducting business. And then now that you can see, they can't hide it in that they're like, aha, we got him. It finally cost him. But if Donald Trump beats this thing, and it's not that big of a deal, and he gets right back to it, I really wonder, is this a smart angle to attack a leader over? Look at this guy. He took a risk. And he, you know, like, I just think that you would want a leader who is willing to take risks, even put himself in a dangerous situation, and deal with the consequences of that. Why is that? Why is it so clear that that is a weakness? It seems to me like that would be a strength. Just a thought.
No, I agree 100%. He's got to turn that around and go, I think it's important to work, and I think it's wrong that government stopped you from working. Everyone, like, and you guys put me in charge here. This is a really important thing. So, yeah, I need to work. And I have to get together with people. We have to make important decisions. I'm not hiding in a basement. That old guy can go hide in a basement. I'm going to continue working for you.
Yeah, especially when this started in March. And we're now in October, and a lot of people, say most people's lives, have been somewhere on the spectrum ranging from disrupted to destroyed based on the response to COVID. And the numbers at this point certainly aren't staggering. It's not as if, like, if you remember back in March, April, May, there was fear of hospitals being overrun and all, and there were some numbers that were pretty like, okay, a lot of people are getting this, a lot of people are dying, a lot of people are going to the hospital. None of that's really around anymore. And I wonder that, you know, you have one guy being like, well, no, we have to get on with business. We have to get on with life. I don't see that being a weakness. Assuming he comes through this and he's okay, I think this is going to end up being a feather in his cap. And what he even said the other day, or it might have been earlier today or yesterday, in the most recent video he put out, is he goes, I now really understand COVID. And I don't understand it from reading about it. I understand it from living it and going through it. And I think that might be a powerful, you know, platform, but argument, well, or whatever.
I think, like you said, he's really going to be able to take that compassion card and run with it and go, no, I had this, so I really understand, and I can feel for these people, and I can make the decisions for them. And like you said, when Biden or people were trashing him for getting sick, it's going to be hard to play that compassion card.
Yes. And one of the, Donald Trump is losing pretty badly with women to Biden. That's one of the
that's the key voting block that shifted from Obama to Trump and got him elected. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it was white women particularly who got him elected.
Yeah, but I don't think they liked the combativeness. I think that's what kind of lost him a little bit of the debate, that crucial demographic didn't like the overly rude, or you can call it alpha behavior, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
Some house moms are not into that.
No, exactly. However, now you've got a guy who's sick. And you've got other people who are basically trying to dunk on him while he's sick. And I wonder how that ends up playing with female voters. And my guess is that it's going to help. Now, I don't know how much it's going to close that gap, but that would be my guess if I had to make one. I also think that, Joe Biden, he gave a speech in a mask. Yesterday.
Really?
And so, yeah, it wasn't a long speech, but he gave a talk like in a mask. And so he's not even taking it off once he gets to the microphone. Like, he's trying to show, look how incredibly cautious I am. But if you just remove yourself from this crazy year, I think it would be obvious to anyone, like, this is just, you're demonstrating weakness. Like just imagine, right, outside of 2020, if someone was such a germaphobe that they did that, and you were like running for president, everyone would acknowledge, like, this is an incredibly weak position. Now, things are a little different in 2020, but I wonder if there's not still some of that you know, same human psychology. That's like, this is a guy who's afraid of his own shadow. That's what you're projecting.
Also, if you're hiring someone to do a job, I don't want the guy who's going to be so careful he can't do the job. That doesn't make sense. Like, yeah. If you're telling me, hey, it's high risk and I'm high risk, so I got to be really careful, well, then, okay, I guess someone else should be doing this job then. It's going to, yeah. You're going to have to make some important decisions, have to get together with people. Like, if you can't do it because you're in this sick or this pre-existing condition group, then, you know, you better speak up now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they were also trying to hit Donald Trump because he got in the car and drove around to go see the people who were marching.
Yeah, he wanted to let people know he's still baller. He's still got a limo. He can still wave and he's still better than you.
Yeah. Well, he was wearing a mask, which was a different look for Donald Trump, but they're trying to hit him now. Like, oh, he put the Secret Service, you know, at risk, which is just, to me, listen, I kind of get the argument, but it's just kind of funny to be concerned about putting the Secret Service at risk. Like, that's literally their job, is to be at risk. That's the whole thing that they sign up for. And like, yeah, look, if the president has an illness, the Secret Service are still going to be protecting him. And so, yeah, they're going to be at risk for that.
Also,
but that's part of the job.
The same people weren't exposed driving him to the hospital.
Well, like, right.
They really changed the shift. So the people that were around him for all the days prior.
Yeah. Like that, and I get the argument. You could say, well, this trip was unnecessary, but it still just doesn't.
They're either exposed or they weren't. Like, yeah. I don't get it. You were either, you know.
Yeah. And it doesn't, I don't know. It just, the whole thing seems like, it just seems like Trump, as he always manages to do, whether intentionally or in some type of like Inspector Gadget way, where he just like falls into these situations, like, you know, but he always seems to lure his enemies onto fighting him on ground where they're very vulnerable. Like, and they seem to almost be so blinded by their contempt and their desire to get Donald Trump out that they don't even see that they're like, yeah, this might not be the strongest position to be arguing from. Also, you're out here arguing that, oh my God, this guy took risks in order to get reelected. He put himself in a vulnerable situation. But you don't see the flip side to that is that you could just as easily call that bravery. You could just as easily say, like, oh yeah, Donald Trump is not worried about his health. He wants to go out there and do the job, you know? Now, I don't know if any of these are the truth, but I'm just saying, in terms of politics, don't you see that could be flipped on you very easily?
Well, we seem to be in such a backwards framework of this year where they've shamed people for wanting to take on risk and go work and provide for their families. Like, that has been seen as an evil. So, yes, normal world, it would be very honorable for an old, unhealthy president to go, listen, I'm still working because I have a job and it's to represent you. And anyone else who has a job and they feel like they need to go do it, I get that these are hard times, but we got to work. You got to go provide. And so I'm out on the front lines working myself. It's up to you, the decision you want to make, but, you know, you got to work.
Yeah. I wonder how this is all going to play out.
And I think he's also got an amazing opportunity to flip the conversation and start talking about drug regulations and all of the ways that the current system are working against people. So when he's been slammed on healthcare, and he's even been taught, like in the last debate, it was so interesting because he didn't know, honestly, which side was lying. Is Trump lying that there's going to be a cure in a couple months, or is there truly some sort of a political something going on here that won't let good drugs get to market in a reasonable fashion?
All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our awesome sponsor for today's show, which is Blue Chew. If you like sex, you're going to love Blue Chew. BlueChew.com offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. At BlueChew.com, you can get the first ever chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Chewables can work faster than pills, up to twice as fast. The chewables from BlueChew.com can be taken on a full or empty stomach. The online physician consultant is free, so it's cheaper than those other two. It only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician. If you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. So there's no in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversation, no waiting in line at a pharmacy. It ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. The chewables from BlueChew.com are prescribed online by a doctor, and they're made in the USA. BlueChew gives you the confidence in the bedroom every time. You and your partner will love it. And here's a great deal for you guys. If you go to bluechew.com, you can get your first order for free when you use the promo code PROBLEM. You just pay $5 shipping, but the order is free. That's bluechew.com, promo code PROBLEM. All right, let's get back into the show.
So now you got to break down what's going on here. Firstly, Trump's a fucking baller because there's two different medications and they went to him, hey, they're risky. And usually people only take one. You go, just give me both. I don't care. I'm going to fucking snort both those. I don't give a shit. Let's do it. You get drugs. And he did that. He took both Remdesivir, which is like the main one. And then he took a totally different therapy and they work in two different ways. But what's interesting is, I mean, this is just the most backwards thing in the world. So Remdesivir, or whatever the fuck it's pronounced, it's not quite available. It's not readily available on the market because it's not totally approved, but for compassionate cases, they'll let you take the dangerous thing. Or if you're the most important person in the country, then you can take, like, these things are too dangerous. They're experimental. We can't get approval. It's dangerous unless you're the most important person, in which case, like, we're not going to guinea pig it. There's something broken in the FDA in terms of that. It would seem that if not for some sort of politics or regulation agencies, we could get this stuff to market quicker. And you shouldn't have to be the president to make a decision for yourself and your own health if you want to take on the risk of taking a certain medication. Perhaps. I mean, listen, we're getting into the weeds a little. I'm just saying there's something backwards here where the dangerous thing is only available to the most important person. Something doesn't make sense.
You're absolutely right. And of course, a lot of people on the left do believe that really important decisions should be made between you and your doctor without government interfering, except they only believe that when it's killing babies. So you just have to apply that same logic to a situation where it's not killing a baby, where it's just you're trying to save a life, which is what, you know, old-fashioned right-wingers like myself think medicine is supposed to be about, you know, saving lives. But it's unbelievable that this argument even has to be made, that if that a patient and a doctor shouldn't be able to discuss the options, and if a doctor is willing to give you something, they should be allowed to do that, and that the government should get involved in that. It's like crazy. It does open the door for that conversation. But I also think that, you know, it's kind of like, I feel like, and I obviously this is speculating, but I think pretty much everyone knows this, that from the beginning of this, the media and Trump's political enemies were always kind of rooting for him to get it. That was always like right under the surface, was just rooting for Donald Trump to get COVID. And part of that was that they're trying to play up the fear of COVID. And they are furious that at least at some points, Donald Trump was trying to play down the fears of COVID. And it's not as if he was consistently doing that. I wish he was consistently doing that, but he wasn't. This is the same guy who declared a national emergency.
It was weird. I feel like Trump got kind of bullied into shutting down and taking it seriously. He would have preferred to have gone the, hey, we all got to work route. And I get that this is dangerous, but guys, this isn't the end of the world. We got to push forward.
Yes.
He somehow managed to lose the media battle on that, where that was shamelessly, you're going to lead to death. Like, yeah, you know conversation about, yeah.
It's crazy because this is the real problem with Donald Trump. And it's like, so the opposite of what everyone who hates Donald Trump says, but the real problem with Donald Trump is not that he's this mean, tough guy. It's that he actually bitches out. Like, tell me the one time, even the people who are Trump supporters, tell me the one time on a policy issue, okay? Not just on like tweets online or something like that, but the one time on a policy issue where they really came at him and he stood his ground and said, no, we're doing this. Honestly, it's not a rhetorical question. Tweet me, post on the comments. Let me know. When was the time that the media circled him and all pressured him? And he said, nope, we're doing this. I don't care. I don't care what you say. I don't care if you say you're going to destroy me that I didn't take this thing seriously enough. We're not shutting down the economy. We're not overreacting to this. I don't care if you tell me the Kurds will be slaughtered. We're pulling those troops out. Like, when was it? When did he do this? Donald Trump always folds when they actually come at him. And that's what he did with this. And now he can't position himself purely as the open the economy guy, Joe wants to close the economy guy. Now he's got to go, Joe wants to close it, I want to open it. I'm the one who closed it, and I closed it for good reason, and we should have closed it, but we didn't. We closed it enough, and now we have to open. And this is too convoluted. But anyway, so they want to get him for Trump downplaying the virus. And then the gotcha is like, well, look, now you got it. So egg on your face, you downplayed it. Now you have the virus. The problem, of course, and it's really weird that they don't, like, it's been mind-boggling over the last 4 years how much the media will take these line of attacks and not see the obvious shortcomings of these lines of attacks or how they could blow back at them. So, okay, that's the angle you're going with. Look, you downplayed it and now you got it. It's like, okay, that works if he gets really, really sick. But how does that look if he's better in a few days? Which a lot of people who get this are. So how does that look? Oh, look, you downplayed it and now you got it. And he goes, yeah, got it. Wasn't that big of a deal. I'm right back. But then obviously this blows up in your face. Like it reminds me of, you know, and
he's like fucking Bugs Bunny. You just can't catch him. And then you start to like him because it's so funny. It's like, taxes. Yeah, right. Fuck you. I don't pay them. Sick. I don't get sick. It's just like baller after baller to the point where you're like, all right, I'm going with Bugs.
Yeah, well, right. But the thing that to me is the most shocking, as much as I fucking, you know, I consider myself to be a fairly red-pilled guy, and I have nothing but disdain for the government, the media, academia, all of this shit. But what's amazing to me is how unimpressive they are. Like, it just how, like, when Hillary Clinton brought that, was it the Khan family, whose son died in Iraq, and had them lecture Donald Trump at the 2016 Democratic National Convention. And it's like, was there nobody on your team who goes, you know, this could backfire because you were a huge proponent of the war in Iraq. So you supported the war that their kid died in. So maybe we shouldn't parade out two parents who lost their kid in Iraq because, you know, just thinking, trying to think a few steps ahead here, this could be turned around on you.
But like, Dave, what about the Halliburton profits? Everybody knows that we needed those Halliburton. And ISIS? We needed ISIS, right. Power vacuum, and the people that were dead. These were, the whole country agrees that these were necessary things.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, this was by 2016, the war in Iraq was not only unpopular, like almost universally accepted as a blunder. And a major one. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Yo Kratom. Listen, if you've never heard of Kratom, just ignore this ad. We're not talking to you. No need to listen to this and go try Kratom. But if you're currently a fan of Kratom, then celebrate your freedom at YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, which is unheard of. YoKratom.com is one of the biggest sellers of Kratom nationwide, and they made YoKratom.com so you can buy directly from them at wholesale prices. This is quality Kratom. We've heard great feedback from the fans. They confirm it's solid. They send it right to you. You don't have to go out and look for some gas station that has it. Just go to YoKratom.com. Get yourself a $60 kilo, YoKratom.com. All right, let's get back into the show. So it just seems like there's so many of these things that they go out where you're like, okay, but don't you see where this could really come back to bite you in the ass? And it seems like that is very possible with this situation here. I also think in a lot of ways, it throws off the Democrats from their line of attack. So we've got this vice presidential debate coming up soon with Pence and Harris. And you know that right now they're scrambling in Harris's debate prep because they were going to, of course, their plan was to attack Donald Trump on his COVID response. And now they've got to find a way to kind of calibrate and be like, well, okay. You know, you don't want to just be callous, especially when you're Kamala Harris and the knock on you is that you're seen as a, you know, sociopathic lizard person. So like, you don't want to just come out and just be like, you know, you can't just awkwardly laugh about Donald Trump being in the hospital. You got to kind of feel bad for him. And then there's this weird position, right, where they've now almost accepted. Now, of course, it's a little bit different. Donald Trump is the president of the United States, but they've basically accepted the idea or are kind of pushing the idea, or at least would like to, that if you get COVID, but you weren't completely safe, it's your fault. that you're somehow to blame for this now. Except the problem there is that that's like probably the vast majority of people who have gotten COVID, right? They've gotten it because they've been in contact with some other person and they probably weren't wearing masks and they probably were. And nobody is really, you know, it almost reminds me of like the woke culture thing where like nobody is really above a fuck up on this. Like if you put anyone under a microscope, they've all had some type of woke violations, you know? It's the same thing with these, like with the craziness of masks and social distancing. At this point, it's not March anymore. It's not April, May, September. You know what I mean? It's October at this point. Everybody's at least been around somebody without a mask. Everybody has not socially distanced at some point. Or even if it's just an accident, everybody's, you know, been in a supermarket and been like, oh shit, my mask is below my nose now, or, you know, whatever it is. And so to try to blame somebody for that when they get the virus, well, how does that play to everybody out there who's either gotten it or knows someone who's gotten it or maybe even knows someone who's died from it? You know, like does that play well, or does the guy who's been through it and survived it play better? I'm not saying it's a given one way or the other, but it's certainly possible that this plays into Trump's hands. I don't know for sure. It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out.
You know what's so fun about the VP debate is that, like, most people that are showing up to vote don't really necessarily like Trump or Biden. They're not the most likable individuals, but somehow we ended up with this shit at the top. But then you go to the VP level and no one likes those people. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like the fall off from the A team to the B team is nearly like, so now we get, the entire country gets to sit down and watch two people that we can all agree no one likes Pence, no one likes Kamala, but because there's two old fucks who are running at the top of the ticket, one of which is actively in the hospital, these people might come into play. And so it's actually a debate you got to watch, which I don't know. There's something really funny about that.
It's something, you know, like, man, do I hate democracy. And every inch of democracy is like just insane. Like, this doesn't work on paper. It doesn't work in practice. There's no logic behind it. It doesn't make any sense. And it's incredibly destructive. But it's really funny to watch that it's not even that democratic. Like, democracy in itself is not very democratic. And now you're in a situation here where you've got two people, Mike Pence and Kamala Harris. Now, Kamala Harris ran for president and did terribly bad. And this wasn't like someone who ran and just didn't get news coverage or wasn't able to raise money or something like that. It's like, oh, she had money. She had the entire media behind her and still just fell flat on her face. Like, no one liked this person. No one wanted her to be the leader. And Mike Pence, I don't think he ever ran for president, but if he did, I'd be shocked if he got 1%. You know what I mean? Like, this is just a guy who nobody would have gotten behind to be president. And then they're both sitting there with these old sick people who they're like not that far away from being, like the nominee of the party or being the eventual president. And as you said, it's like no one would have supported these people. So you could argue like, well, that just shows you that we don't really truly have democracy or something like that. But even on the presidential level where people are voting for them, I mean, there's a huge portion of the country that just doesn't vote, you know, it might be a little bit less than 50% in presidential elections, but it's like a huge portion. So the person who wins, it's not like they ever have a majority of the American people. I mean, Hillary Clinton's, can say, well, I won the popular vote. It's like, yeah, you got, what, 65 million people to vote for you? But there's over 300 million people in America, right? It's not as if you go in there like the majority of Americans want me. No, even if you take out, you know, 18-year-olds, so it's nowhere close to the majority of the country. So anyway, the whole thing is just so ridiculous. But it will be interesting. I do think now that the presidential debates are completely up in the air, we have no idea what's going to happen with them. It does seem like the vice presidential debate takes on more importance. And you know, we'll see. I guess the counter to that is that in 2020, nothing seems to last more than a couple days. So really, we'll just see where, you know, what the thing 2 days before election day is. And then that'll be the big thing.
I don't think anything can be said unless Kamala does something so dumb where she kind of makes it clear, hey, Biden stepping down after I get in there, like something along those lines that just makes people go, man, the Democrats are fucking shady and fuck them. Unless she does something that dumb, even though we're all going to tune in for this and it seems more important, that's partially because there's just less content out there in terms of the presidential debate. So if you're trying to cover it, like this is big. But honestly, 2 days, you're right. 2 days later, you're picking Biden for Biden and you're picking Trump for Trump. Like,
Really, it seems like at this point you're picking Biden because you hate Trump and you're picking Trump because you hate Biden. Although,
I will say what Palin really fucked things up for McCain, though, because she looked so dumb that McCain looked dumb for picking her. Mm-hmm. And that was part of why their candidacy, you know, I mean, he should have just been disqualified for the whole warmongering, but that doesn't make it into the news. But I do remember that she was such a mockery. She definitely brought down his campaign considerably.
Yeah.
So I guess Kamala could be that bad. It's potentially possible.
You know, it's all of these things are possible. I do think that Mike Pence is probably, and I don't know, I could be wrong about this, but I think that Mike Pence is liked by his base more than Kamala Harris is by hers.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays. Also, the other thing is that Kamala Harris, like Mike Pence is not particularly good at debating, but Kamala Harris is particularly bad. She is very bad at this. Her biggest moment in the debate was calling the guy who she's now going to be running for vice president racist. That's like her most memorable moment, aside from just getting just wrecked by Tulsi Gabbard. And so, you know, she's very tense. She's very Hillary Clinton-esque.
She's got that nasally voice thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she spent too much time married to that Jew that she absorbed nasally Jew voice.
That is how it works.
Yeah.
You catch it. Yeah, trust me. As a couple of Jews, we'll tell you. That is exactly
like
how
the
it
nanny.
Works. Okay, so by the way, Kaylee McKinney just announced she's positive.
That's the really thin, pretty chick? Not the thin, pretty chick.
She's the press secretary.
Yeah.
He's got it as well. She's got it
She'll
as well.
She'll be all right.
Now, Donald Trump.
How's Melania and the fat guy doing? The real fat one, Christie. I loved
Christie?
Tweet. Your tweet was so funny, dude.
Oh, yeah. I said if Chris Christie survives COVID, can we all agree it's officially no big deal? Because that's, I mean, like, if it doesn't take down Chris Christie, I'm just guessing, okay, if Chris Christie did die from COVID, just a wild guess. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I'm guessing at least 35 comorbidities go down on that death certificate. So if COVID doesn't take him down, we really got to do some soul searching as a nation. And
be
like, okay.
It was one of my favorite jokes in The Simpsons, but the doctor is looking at a chart of Homer and he goes, well, Homer, apparently you don't have any kidneys. And Homer goes, well, how long do I have to live? And he goes, frankly, I don't know. You're live right now. that's what Chris Christie's charts would look
literally,
like.
There's just a doctor who's going, okay, so how many patients is this? This is one guy. You're telling me this is one guy. I don't understand. I go, they never covered anything like this in medical school. So I don't know. Did you see Trump has gone on a Twitter tear? You just picture like Donald Trump in like a hospital gown with a lollipop and his phone.
And his
he's
ass
got nothing
out.
Else to do. Yeah, he's just got, and he's just tweeting out these like ridiculous, just Trump things, you know, like three words. And they're all always all in caps and then followed by vote, exclamation point. So like peace through strength, bring our soldiers home, vote, all caps. Save our Second Amendment, vote. Fight the corrupt fake news media, vote. Protect pre-existing conditions, vote. Better, cheaper healthcare, vote. Pro-life, vote. Massive regulation cuts, vote. Space Force, vote. Like there's just on and on. This is like all day today. He's just, and they all came in at the same time. Like he's just firing them off. And I will say that this is to the other side, right? Like I can see where all of this plays in Trump's hands. But I will say that I think there is something about Donald Trump's campaign that is lacking, that just doesn't, you know, Donald Trump in 2016 had a very clear message. as much as the media and the people who hated him tried to muddy it and make his message all, you know, like, oh, his message is that he's racist or that he's blah, 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 he's dog whistling and all of this. But what Donald Trump really ran on was really, it was pretty clear. And it was a message that was really compelling to people. And the message basically was that we don't win anymore. America, the country, we don't win. Hey, you, regular American, nobody's looking out for you and making sure you win because the whole system is corrupt and they're just looking out for themselves. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to stop outsourcing jobs. We're going to start, we're going to stop importing immigrants, and we're going to stop fighting stupid wars. And we're going to do, you know, and it was like this. And I do feel like even just like looking at these tweets today, it's like there's the messaging is just a lot more all over the place. And I don't know that there's as clear and concise of a message. And I got to say, I think it, as we were kind of getting at earlier, I think it's a real missed opportunity for Donald Trump that he's not just saying, I represent a free country and opening the economy. And I don't even mean free in the way that me and you and libertarians think of freedom. You know, nobody's going to go full advocating for that. Okay, fine. But I just mean free in the way we all considered us free in February. You know, like just like, okay, you have a right to open your business, go to work, no lockdowns. I just think that that would have been, and the law and order stuff, which he's done, you know, he's been on, I think is a winning argument. He's doing a good job on that. But I just think that the messaging isn't quite as clear. And the one of the weird dynamics that exists in this race, which is, again, just back to my point before about how stupid, not just evil, because we all know they're evil, but how stupid the corporate press is that it seems like they don't even realize that if you wanted to defeat Donald Trump, what you would probably look at is how popular his anti-establishment message was. And what you could get Donald Trump for now is that he's not anti-establishment anymore. He is the establishment. You can't be the sitting president of the United States and run against the system. That could be the angle that they take. And that would actually probably be a lot more effective to peel off the anti-establishment, you know, credentials from him. But instead, they all in uniform attack him over every single thing that he does. And that gives him back the anti-establishment juice. That lets you know it's like, oh, no, it doesn't matter if he's the president. He's still the guy who's pissing off the entire establishment. So I think that's what Trump has going for him. And I think that the messaging isn't this year what he has going for him.
I think we spoke about this a lot in the last election. He had outside mystery factor where mm-hmm. since he wasn't there, he could claim, hey, you just got to put me in here. It'll be the best thing that ever happened. But now he's been here for 4 years and it's not the best thing that ever happened. So it's a tougher sale because he's no longer the new thing. Now, he happens to be running against Biden, which makes it pretty easy to go, hey, listen, I might not be able to come in and solve everything, but at least I'm not Biden. But I think one of the other things that he could probably be playing up a little bit is because the keep it great or whatever he tried to change the slogan to just had sucked. He should go back to, it's almost like when Rocky's got to go back to the basics. He should go back to make right. it. He's go back to make America great again. And his story should be, listen, I showed up here 4 years ago with great ideas. And sadly, there was a deep state coup, something that no president has ever faced. And you're right. I wasn't able to get to work for you because these other organizations, you should play the underdog. These other organizations hate you. And here's what they did to make sure that I couldn't get in here and fix our trade arrangements, get us the wall. All the things that I promised I still want to do. And you're right. I wasn't able to do it as quickly as I wanted to because they cheated you out of your presidency. That's what they did. You voted for me and they didn't let me get to work. And guess what? If you vote for me again, there's nothing they can do. We win. I'll get you that shit I promised. That's why they should fucking hire me. Hire me. I'm available. I'll write this shit for you. Let's do it, Trump.
Rob will work for outrageously cheap. Okay? I'm just saying, Donald Trump, I know you got money, but Rob comes cheap. Yeah, I just think that there seems to me to be a really missed opportunity in terms of the messaging. And I think what you just said would be more, more on point. But hey, we are down now to the fourth quarter of this, and it's really going to be very interesting to see what comes out of all of this, how it goes down. It's not just who wins the presidency, but how they win it is going to be really important to how people feel about this country going forward. And I still think right now, I mean, it'd be really tough to bet on. But my bet is that Donald Trump's going to have a really good election day still. But then I think there's going to be all types of, votes that have to still be counted and missing, and lawyers are going to get involved. And I think there's a good chance that Joe Biden ends up winning this thing a couple weeks after Election Day. I don't know. We'll see.
If that happens, the 10-year look back or the 5-year look back, do we find out Trump really won?
Who knows? But either way, it'll be too late at that point. But I wonder what ends up happening after that in terms of look, one way or the other, whether Trump wins or whether Biden wins, there's no way that there's no conceivable way, at least to my mind, that the other side recognizes the legitimacy of the
secession.
Winner.
It's coming.
Well, that certainly moves us in that direction. And I think that might be the
California,
really
California, New Mexico, like the actual, New Mexico.
Yes, no, I get what you're saying. State, like literally a New Mexico, which they kind of already are becoming. But I think that that's the real positive that can come out of this election. You could certainly argue that in many ways, Democrats didn't see Donald Trump's 2016 election as legitimate, but it always seemed like there was just a little bit of posturing there. It wasn't a true belief that Donald Trump wasn't legitimately the president. I mean, they could say their stuff about Russia, and I'm sure a few people legitimately believe that, but that always seemed like it was kind of a reach. I mean, obviously it was all complete bullshit, but even people believing that seemed like a little bit of a reach. And most people, would acknowledge that, well, Hillary Clinton did lose all of these swing states and stuff like that. But this year, it seems like it's going to be different.
And I hope if Trump does lose, he just goes to become in charge of some other country. It's like when bands are famous and then they're not in America anymore, but they still tour in Europe.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you that. Yeah, that might be what happens. I'll tell you, though, if you do, and this is just, a guess, I don't really know. But if you do, if you think that secession and nullification and stuff like that is the best path forward. If that's, if you're on that train that I'm on, that basically the best thing that can happen in the United States of America right now is that we go our separate ways and we don't try to force this whole thing together. Because at this point, whether the right wing wins or the left wing wins, it's going to take tremendous force to force everybody together. Because the Antifa marching in Portland and some conservatives marching in fucking, wherever in the Bible Belt somewhere, they have such different cultures, different views of the world. They're so diametrically opposed to each other that to get them all to be one thing, one side's going to have to win and dominate the other. That's the only way they're all a part of the same country. And if you're against that force, and you're against one side being dominated, no matter which side it is. And if you are basically, don't see much positive utility in what the United States of America does right now as a federal government, then what you would want is some type of secession. Just I've said a lot of times before, if you're in a marriage and you hate each other, or you're in a business partnership and you hate each other, you start a business together, you've run it, you both are completely hate each other's guts, you both blame the other person for everything that's going wrong with the business. Well, what's the obvious answer? You guys should probably go your separate ways. That's probably what makes sense here. If that's the case, I think that perhaps Joe Biden winning the election in a way that's perceived or is in actuality kind of shady or basically stolen by lawyers, that might be the best case scenario to push the country towards secession. Because if Donald Trump wins and is perceived to fucking have stolen it or does in some way steal it, I mean, the left will lose their fucking minds. They'll riot. They'll shut shit down. They'll go fucking nuts. They are not going to lose power and just kind of slink away. Whereas the right wing, I think, is more likely to lose power and just kind of be like, okay, well, we want to go off in our own direction. Just a thought. I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out.
A Trump cruise Texas. Trump loses and he goes, all right, well, what states are with me? Because this is bullshit. And then you got a Ted Cruz, Trump, Texas. Fuck yeah, I'll move. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's possible. That is indeed possible. All right. Well, listen, we're going to wrap up there. Thank you guys very much for listening. We will be back on Wednesday with a brand new episode. Peace.